Well, the Kansas City Star's kind of upset at you. You're doing something right. That's the case again for Kansas State Senator Mike Thompson, of course, the former meteorologist in town. But now we got to call him a politician, a big fancy politician. He joins us on KCMO. Mike, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Pete?
Oh, I'm doing well. Doing well, Mike.
Oh, good to hear. Good to hear.
Good to have you on. Thanks for being here. So take me through what happened yesterday. The Kansas Senate, this is as the Star wrote it, the Kansas Senate adopted a resolution Monday condemning proposed changes to the World Health Organization that some Republicans falsely contend would remove health policy authority from U.S. officials. What did you do yesterday, Mike? What happened?
Well, we did. We passed a resolution, and you know, that's about, unfortunately right now, about all we can do. But basically, the Biden administration has proposed amendments to the WHO international health regulations that would, if the treaty is passed, now it has to get to the Senate, if the executive branch you know, does a treaty, then the Senate has to approve it, but two-thirds majority. But basically all we did was send a strong message from the Kansas Senate about our displeasure about that, because if those amendments would allow the WHO to unilaterally declare an international health emergency, it would affect us, because Article 19 of their Constitution gives them authority to adopt conventions or agreements on any matter within what they call the WHO's competence, and that's a very broad authority. So it could potentially affect more than just healthcare kind of actions. It could affect travel restrictions, education, things like that. So we just basically, had a resolution that was said, we don't want this. Please don't do this. And that's all it is. It's a Senate resolution. It's not a statute. It's not a bill. But we will send a copy to the president, the World Health Organization, the governor, and the secretary of the Department of Health and Environment. And, of course, saying, guys, please, we don't want an unelected, corrupt UN branch telling us what we can and can't do during certain health emergencies.
That was my understanding as well. It's obviously it's not a bill. It's not a piece of legislation. It's just the official stance of the Kansas Senate that gets passed on to the White House. And even from and I think you alluded to it there, Senator, even from the White House perspective, this is something that would require some kind of congressional approval. Is that right?
Yeah, any international treaty has to be approved by the Senate, the U.S. Senate, and it's by a two-thirds vote, which we hope that wouldn't happen. But we were just felt like I've been getting flooded with emails from people who are worried about this. I got a few nasty ones yesterday after the Star article came out, but mostly it's people who understand that the WHO is not. We don't want them having any say over what happens in this country. And, you know, what happens at the federal level affects us at the state level. And if they were to pass the treaty and approve that treaty in the Senate, then the U.S. would be bound by that. And the WHO would have authority that the states would have to then step in. And you know how hard that is when we're trying. That's what we did all year, trying to find ways to assert our 10th Amendment rights and fight back against federal overreach.
So, what's your response to the Star and the Associated Press when they say this is all fear mongering, misinformation, and everything else? How would you respond to that based on what they wrote yesterday and what has been written about this?
It's clear they don't truly understand how international treaties work, and they're the ones who are actually fear-mongering, I think. Turnabout is fair play. They're the ones who are saying that this is no big deal. There's nothing to see here. But all you have to do is look at everything the Biden administration is doing right now is taking us in the wrong direction at top speed. And this would just be one more thing. And that's all we've been doing this year is trying to find ways to fight back against these sorts of overreach and capitulating our sovereignty to a an unelected international organization is just about the dumbest thing we could do.
Mike Thompson, state senator out of Shawnee, joining us on KCMO Talk Radio. Mike, the legislative session is over. It seems like there were some actually, I don't know, I think you guys had a pretty good session overall, especially working with Governor Kelly, who signed some things that maybe surprised a lot of us. Grocery sales tax, phasing that out 6.5% to 0% by 2025. Is this something that it seemed like everybody was on board with this? The one concern, as far as I can tell, is there's no way to make up, I think it's what, it's hundreds of millions of dollars in the budget that the grocery sales tax ultimately brings into the state. So how will that end work? Is it through cutting? Is it through raising revenue somewhere else? What do you do to make that thing up over time?
Well, I think that's part of the reason that we decided to phase it in, so that we could make adjustments as if we saw that things were not going to be able to be, if the math wasn't going to work out. We're going to have to cut the budget in places that, but we don't have many places to do that because of the Gannon decision. We have to spend 63% of our budget on education, then a huge amount goes to the Health and Human Services. So it really doesn't give us a whole lot of room to work with. But, you know, in this time of inflation, it just seemed to make sense, and phasing it in so that we could see how that impact was going to happen, rather than just hit it, you know, right this year with the full elimination of the sales tax. That didn't make sense because you need time to adjust and figure out how to adjust the budget to, you know, to accommodate that. So that's something going forward we're going to have to deal with on an ongoing basis. But you're right. We don't want to raise taxes somewhere else. The concern is that, you know, maybe the locals will raise sales taxes to compensate for it, but the state doesn't want to do that.
What's one thing that you guys got done this cycle that maybe got underreported, didn't get enough attention, wasn't the big sexy thing that we talked about on radio and TV and other places, but you think deserves more attention this session?
Well, that was a tough one because we came in with a lot. I think the... I'm just racking my brain to think about that because we had a lot of health freedom bills. Let me answer it this way. Because we came in with such a strong agenda, we had the health freedom bills, we had the women's sports, which got vetoed, we had a bunch of election integrity bills. Perhaps the judicial selection didn't get as much attention as I would have liked. We had the two constitutional amendments that didn't make it, that would have significantly changed the Supreme Court judicial selection. I think that was a big deal. And we had all of these bills. And I think what got underreported really is the amount of involvement from the public that we had this year. And the big groups, the health freedom groups that showed up, the folks who showed up for election integrity. I was still at a meeting last night, and it was just packed with people. With information on election integrity. And I think there's a movement afoot, a freedom movement afoot now, because they've seen what's happened here over the last couple of years with the pandemic, the lockdowns, the restrictions, the masking in the schools and everything else. The people are finally seeing that they have to stand up and make their voices heard. And I think even though there are a lot of those initiatives that we had that did not make it, they haven't died simply because the bills die at the end of this session. We've got some groups out there who are really working hard, and I think that's something that people need to pay attention to and get involved with if they have interest in trying to advance some of these causes, because it is very important. The ESG, for example, I had a bill on ESG, couldn't get it heard.
Which is, just for people that don't know, ESG?
Oh, that's the environmental, social, and governance. It's arbitrary rules on capital availability for investments that are being set by these big investment firms like BlackRock and Vanguard. That steers all sorts of malinvestment in this country and is creating the problems that we're seeing in the energy prices. So we've got to do something to fight back against that. Other states implemented that. We had a bill ready to go and couldn't get that across, and I think that's something we've got to do next year. So I'm already trying to look ahead to next year to see what we can what we can accomplish, and hopefully we'll be in a situation where we don't have to have a veto-proof majority all the time to overcome some of these things.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Last thing, this is your bread and butter, so I can't let you out of here, Mike Thompson, without asking you about this. You probably saw what happened to NextEra a few weeks ago, wind energy company, one of the largest in the U.S., pleaded guilty to criminal charges, ordered to pay over $8 million in fines and restitution after at least 150 bald eagles killed at its wind farm in eight states. How do you feel like you've worked hard on this issue? How do you feel like it's going right now in Kansas with you in the legislature?
Well, there's a lot more education to go. I tried, worked hard on that all year. There is a transmission line from Wolf Creek over to Jasper, Missouri. It's called the Wolf Creek to Blackberry line that NextEra is proposing that we need to stop, and that's going through the KCC right now. And if it is approved, Kansans would once again be paying for the transmission line for NextEra to implement more renewable energy. That's the big reason that we have the highest electrical rates in the region. We're paying for all of the infrastructure, and we're benefiting, well, we're not benefiting from it at all. And so we've got to find a solution to this and bring our electrical rates under control. But as long as we're implementing all these renewables, we're paying for the extra peaking generation, we're paying for the transmission, we're paying for the subsidies in the back doorway. I need about 2 hours to talk about it, but this is a big, big problem. And an $8 million fine is a slap on the wrist to NextEra. They're going to continue to kill the eagles. There are environmental concerns. There are energy concerns. The upper Midwest, the MISO and the ERCOT, the Texas, those two grids are already warning people that they're going to have blackouts this summer during the heat of the summer. And it's because they've retired their base load plants, coal plants. Texas retired six. Illinois, Indiana, and those areas retired a bunch of coal plants. Now all of a sudden they're going to be short on the ability to handle the energy needs during the summer, which is the highest load. Mm-hmm. And that may impact us because the Southwest Power Pool will have to provide energy, particularly to the upper Midwest, and that could affect our power balance here. Wow. And since Kansas provides a huge amount of energy to the Southwest Power Pool, the 14-state region, we should have the cheapest electrical rates, but we're paying all the cost and shipping all that electricity out of state, not benefiting at all.
So what you're saying is we should keep rooting for 55 degrees and rain till Labor Day is what I'm hearing.
That's pretty much it.
Sad.
Yes, all year long.
Sad reality.
It is. Yeah. This green energy idea is not good, and people just don't get it. And until they do, and as long as we go down this path, our energy costs are going to go higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. Mike Thompson, State Senator of Shawnee, good to have him on. Mike, thanks for being here.
Sure thing, Pete.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.